Well, you know, I mean, I was like kind of, I read this and I was just kind of stunned at how rude that question was. But then I thought about it and I just thought, I mean, it's not, so, and it's rude, but it's like this ignorant question and it's this racist question at the same time, because the racist part of it is this assumption that, you know, this assumption that the black guys, just by the nature of them being black, would be better football players. And that's just, you know, that's racist in and of it, in and of itself. This was never the way I planned.
Got mail.
This is Torch columnist Sean Madigan, joined by my co-host Derek Bergen for a very special edition, in fact, a mailbag edition, mostly, of the Madigan Audio Showcase for Saturday, November 1st, 2008, and we are ripping and ready. Derek, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm still kind of pissed. I bought a bunch of great candy this Halloween, you know, peanut M&Ms. I got the Reese's mixed bag that's got the Reese's pieces, the peanut butter cups, and the Reese's sticks. And those goddamn kids took everything. You know, I thought I overbought. I thought I would have enough candy so I'd be able to splurge afterwards. And those goddamn kids just kept coming and coming and coming last night. And ended up having to give it all away. That really pissed me off.
I hear some people didn't have that problem this year, and not many people showed up. Jason Powell said he drove two towns over and bought $15 worth of candy, and no one showed up, and he's in, he's eating it today, I believe. And I'm about to drop into a sugar-induced coma as well.
Well, maybe I'm going to have to be moving up there. The only bright spot of the night was the fact that I don't know, every group that's going to come along, I guess that's the new thing, is everyone walks around with their parents. Or I'm in a gated community, so I guess it's closed up anyway. But I would have a group of, like, eight kids, and I'd have, like, six of them would be, like, 10 years old and younger. You know, they're all wearing their Joker outfit was big last night. You know, and they're all little goofy outfits. And then we'd have, like, two teenage girls. And one was wearing, like, a slutty witch clothes and then a slutty Santa's helper outfit. I'm like, this is, like, the greatest day of my life. But why are you walking around with your parents or whoever like this? It just blew my mind. But I guess we're in a new generation. I guess I'm seeing the world like Bruce Mitchell does. Is like, I can't believe them darn kids and how things work these days. But it brightened up my night for seeing all my candy disappear fast. So that was the fourth smile on my face.
Well, before we get into the mailbag, just some updated news. I've talked to some people close to Gabe Sapolsky, and they've kind of indicated that one of the reasons that he was prone to tantrums and so forth, and, you know, we talked the other day about, you know, how we were very surprised about this new nice Gabe, and they said the things he got, you know, he was very passionate about his booking. He considered it an art form, and he wanted, you know, everything to come off the way perfectly for the people paying to see it. So that led to some of his passionate rants on us and the, you know, the FIP things backstage and so forth. And, you know, right or wrong, they said you know, that's how he approached his job. But, you know, they said he kind of confirmed that he isn't a classless jerk, and that that's why we didn't see a report of a local man killed by an independent hooker.
John, I mean, that's not I think the classless jerk in this situation wasn't Gabe Sapolsky. I hopefully that nobody listening to this got that impression. We think he's kind of crazy in some ways. The classless jerk to me was Kerry Silkin for firing a guy with no notice at the end of a show. You know, I mean.
Oh no, no, I meant. I meant in areas other than related to his you know, his passion with his booking and his you know, dealing with people angrily and so forth.
You and
not
I
at,
are just as passionate about him as things we like, things we care about. Both of us have been criticized and in some ways a lot more than Gabe Sapolsky has on pro wrestling message boards. You know, you on the torch, me on the torch, and Figure Four Weekly. And we don't just go out and freak out. You know, so it's not just passion. There's a part of his brain that just doesn't realize, you know, I can't act like this. And he does it in public. He does it in front of people he pays. You know, he's your employer where you need to have a different relationship with people. It's not just Derek and Sean, you know, shooting the shit. It's like a boss, a mentor, and a student-type relationship, and it's just completely inappropriate. And to just wipe that under the bridge saying they're passionate, that's bullshit. You know, that's complete bullshit. You can't act the way Gabe Sapolsky has acted sometimes in life and just wipe it under the bridge and say, well, he's just passionate about his job. No, that's not, because we all are, and everyone in wrestling is. You know, that's why they're there. It's not for the money, you know. They're there because
that's not what I'm saying. But, you know,
what are you saying, then?
I'm saying that, you know, that I'm not, I'm just passing along what I heard about, you know,
he's
passing
along some suck up who's kissing up the gate to defend something that's undefensible.
That's not, if you let me fucking finish. Jesus Christ.
Let me go get my
that
belt.
A, go get your, go get something that come.
You're making me tap out.
Are you going to let me finish? You're going to interrupt me a thousand times with
you
your sidetrack
BS.
All right. What I'm saying, and you know, I'm not saying I agree or disagree. All I'm saying is there's a difference between how he approaches other people, like Kerry Silkin, and how he approaches people criticizing his work. And that's all I'm saying. What that was passed along. So I don't know. We gotta wait and see how this plays out. But I don't know. I'm getting more of a vibe that this, you know, this is all what really went down, and you know, they're going to go with this new direction, and I don't know, it'll be interesting to follow for the next, I'm looking forward to next Friday.
Yeah. Is it now, that's Toronto or Montreal?
Yeah.
Okay.
Montreal comes first. I mean, we could talk about this a little more, about the business as usual approach, and we'll get into the questions and so forth, but some of the developments this week, I just don't see them doing much of anything different. They put up a couple of videos, previews, hyping their matches. I watched the one for Montreal with the World Title Elimination match. I mean, that didn't do much for me in terms of making me die to see the DVD or the match.
Sean,
but,
were you surprised that not a single wrestler or anyone involved with the company, for that matter, went on the record and stood by Gabe Sapolsky or said, you know, this said anything contrary to the company line other than one anonymous and possibly fabricated message on the Declaration of Independence website? Or is it just in wrestling, even at the lowest end, which is Ring of Honor? I mean, half these guys have real jobs. You know, nobody's getting rich. Even at that point, they're kind of afraid to say how they really feel, because I have to believe that there's people in that company that really like Gabe Sapolsky and think this is bullshit. And not a single person said anything other than the company line on this one.
I'm not surprised, because, you know, a lot of people want the 40 dates a year, you know, and the exposure. And that only, I mean, there's no doubt about it that most of these people don't have much of a place to go if ROH shut down. I mean, in terms of the exposure they're getting right now, I think one thing is people don't, I mean, like we talked about the camps of wrestlers, and there's some that haven't heard from anyone in ROH since this went down. I don't know if that's changed since Thursday. But, you know, I think a lot of people are just scared for their spot. And, you know, they're certainly coming out and saying something for anyone with a transition. I mean, you rub someone the wrong way and you're, you know.
No, that's
out.
The worst thing. If you just put a message to the PW Torch, or sent a letter to Wrestling Observer, and all you were saying was thank you, Gabe, and saying you these angles I was a part of. I really want to thank you for helping my career. You have probably people in that company taking that as a slap to Adam Pearce or the fact that the company made a bad decision. And it's really a shame because in most other businesses, in sports, in entertainment, anywhere, if someone who's been a huge part of the company leaves, you know, the people that are still there allow, you know, to show respect, you know, and even Ring of Honor has done it in several occasions with Paul London at one of my first shows, Death Before Dishonor.
Yeah.
It just lets you appreciate a person rather than they're just not there anymore. You know, they're taken away in the middle of the night, and it's a shame because he's such an instrumental reason of why so many fans love the product and why so many wrestlers have had some of the best years of their lives there, their careers, I should say.
It's very odd going forward. I mean, the news wires we talked about, the written ones have gotten worse. I don't know if you watched the new video wire with LAX. I thought that was nice how they showed most of the entrance and some highlights from Connecticut, but still didn't do much in terms of getting me really excited to buy the DVD as a fan. You know, they're keeping Gabe's, you know, what Gabe laid out pretty much. I mean, most of the cards for most of the lineup for both cards were already laid out, and the only thing they did was add four guys from the IWS promotion Canada to both cards, I believe. Dan Pizon, XS, Stupefied, and Green Phantom, all people I'm not very familiar with. And the other big announcement was that Irish Airborne would return to the company when they're in Dayton later in the month.
Wow. I'm so speechless.
It's some way to put over.
Did you get a chance to listen to Wade Keller's Impassioned Plea? And this is about the 10th time he's done it for a Ring of Honor subscription service. And he laid out his basic tenants again. It sounded like he also put it in the newsletter again. And somebody started a thread on his message board about it. What are your feelings on his proposed plan of Ring of Honor putting out one monthly DVD of their best show and then a second DVD with it that would include stuff to hopefully entice you to buy a DVD and charging, I think he said, $20 or $30 or something?
I think they should do it because especially now that I know that they're going to go forward with the roughly four-month show approach, I think it's something that should be done because the people don't want this many shows, but it's like, I guess they're not going to drop down on the amount of shows. There's just too much to follow. And if they did that, at least they would give everyone a chance to see, you know, the best show of that month and another DVD full of highlights and maybe cherry pick a couple matches. Cause it's not like people are just, you know, people aren't buying the product because they're overwhelmed. I get the sense like a lot of people that would be customers are overwhelmed and, you know, they don't want to, you know, one person made a post in the forum about, you know, loving it. He'd love to see all these, the shows from Japan and Jerry Lynn coming into the company and LAX. And people are actually like, you know, they see this and they think about it, like the LAX, like I said, LAX coming in with Homicide. They see Jerry Lynn getting some positive buzz for his performances. They want to see the Japan shows because it featured, like, some really unique matchups that probably wouldn't take place in the States. And there's so many DVDs to buy to see those things that it's like, you know what, I'm just going to stick to what I watch on TV and maybe buy a WWE pay-per-view or a TNA show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, because of WWE, I mean, you don't have to buy 56 DVDs to see what, you know, pick from 56 things to see, you know, what you want to see. It's just,
right.
You know, it's like we talk about WWE running too many pay-per-views, and, you know, some people wouldn't even want a pay-per-view every month, and we're talking about a company that puts out $20 shows 40-something times per year. I mean, it's just, it's a pay-per-view price almost, and you really need to, I mean, I'm sure there are people that would buy most shows. I mean, you need to cater to that market and your other markets. And I don't think they're doing anything to suck those people in. Imagine, you know, we talk about things that are getting people to pay. Like you hook someone up to PayPal, it's almost like they don't even think about it, you know?
Yeah.
They, you know, if ROH could hook someone up to it, automatically be charged every month like a subscription. I mean, it would just keep coming. You wouldn't think about it. And as long as you got, like, a really good –